Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey.
Hey. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Rachel Davis for the opportunity to be here with you on behalf of what we call the Cleveland Experience and to really share the value that Unity brings. And we're really pleased to be a Unity City is what we call it for the past 7 years, because Unity is a really fantastic resource allowing cities to really come together to share their experiences and then to learn from each other. So again, my presentation is entitled Unity, a Public Health Approach to Preventing Violence, the Cleveland Experience. Okay. This is a necessity just to indicate to you that there are no relationships that I have to disclose. Now, what I'd like to do is twofold. One is to explain to you what the Healthy Cleveland Initiative is and how the issue of youth violence is addressed through this particular framework. Okay. So let's talk about how it all began. And I really appreciate the presentation that Dr. Spivak did, because again, it provides that foundation and that backdrop against why we are addressing youth violence, but also from the standpoint of Cleveland health in general. So, in 2011, this was deemed the year that the city of Cleveland would rededicate itself to ensuring longer, healthier lives for its residents by combating chronic health conditions. By every standard that we had looked at and all the data that we had analyzed, we know that we have a problem within the city of Cleveland as it relates to chronic health conditions, which is mirrored across the country. Now, this group. Now, so how the Healthy Cleveland Initiative came about is through the efforts of our mayor, the gentleman in the center wearing the gray suit is Mayor Frank G. Jackson. And what he was able to do was something that had never been done in the city of Cleveland, and that was to engage the CEOs of all of our major hospital systems to get their agreement to come together to address collectively this whole issue of what do we need to do in Cleveland to address chronic illnesses. All right. So as a result of that, as I mentioned, this had never happened before. It received a lot of press, and our major newspaper indicated here that the four biggest hospital systems team with the city to create the Healthy Cleveland Plan. And a quote is actually mentioned from the mayor. It indicates that everyone agrees that having a healthier population is not good just for individuals, families in the community, but in a personal way and in a financial sense. We want to create a culture and lifestyle of health in Cleveland. So, what are the major tenets of the Healthy Cleveland Initiative? It's designed, number one, to address smoking cessation. We know that tobacco use is one of the strongest precursors to chronic diseases and one of the most preventable. In addition, improving diet and nutrition was one of the main features, enhancing exercise and physical mobility, addressing supportive services, and really drilling down on the connection between physical health and mental health, eliminating health inequities, and lastly, measurement and evaluating health outcomes. Now, we talked about risk factors. We all know the basic risk factors, which include things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, low intake of fruits and vegetables, low levels of physical activity, tobacco use, as well as heavy alcohol intake. And we know, too, that individuals who possess these risk factors are more inclined to be impacted by chronic diseases like heart disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes. But what we also know is there are a number of other risk factors, and they lead to what we know as the social determinants of health. Now, these are those economic, the environmental, those social conditions that actually influence the health of individuals, communities, and jurisdictions as a whole. And we'll talk about that. So, how did all of this come about? Well, some groundbreaking research was actually done within the Cleveland and Cuyahoga County area. What we did was we took a look at data. One of the things that we oversee is our Bureau of Vital Statistics. And with that information, we were actually able to analyze death certificates to identify where those deaths occur, what the causes of death were. And what we discovered was something that was just shattering, because in two particular communities, One is called the Hub Community. We determined that there was an average life expectancy of 64 years, as compared with the Lyndhurst Community, which has a life expectancy of 88.5 years. Now, we're talking about two communities that are no more than 8 miles apart. So you ask yourself, how can we have this type of disparity, and how can there be differences that really impact life expectancy? Can you imagine, can you just picture the lost productivity, the lost years of life that this chart actually represents? So, what we wanted to drill down upon is the fact that the environments in which we live and the conditions that we create can either cultivate life or cut it short. In other words, place matters. So, when we talked about those risk factors, we mentioned the common ones, but there are other risk factors, particularly as it leads to the whole issue of youth violence, things like chaotic family environments, things like violent neighborhoods, dysfunctional school systems. Those kinds of things basically perpetuate and create and cultivate an environment where violence persists. So the impact of youth violence in particular on the overall health of the community became a major focus of the Healthy Cleveland Initiative, recognizing that in order to have a comprehensive approach, violence had to be included. Now, one of the things that we have to consider is, okay, how do we engage? How do we engage the particular populations that we're hoping to connect with? And we have a phrase that we say in Cleveland anytime we are considering or envisioning an intervention, and that is, do nothing about me without me. So we said, how do we then incorporate the views and the vision of the youth? Now, in Cleveland, we have a youth component. It's called the 110, the 110. And basically, these are paid city employees between the ages of 16 and 18 who provide leadership and staff support at the city's 22 recreation centers. And then of this 110, each center then identifies a student leader. Each recreation center, we have 22 of them. And these 22 students then comprise what's known as the Mayor's Youth Advisory Council. And this is a wonderful group, and what happens is they meet with the mayor on a quarterly basis. This is their opportunity to share with him, directly with the mayor, what their concerns are, what their problems are, what the barriers are as it relates to engaging the youth. And they have a pretty critical decision-making role. So having that body then allows for two-way communication and conversation. It really helps us to build and develop youth leadership, and it also provides a better understanding between the youth and the city's leadership. In addition to that, they have a very critical role as it relates to planning for the mayor's annual youth summit. And this is a major citywide event where students from all across the city come together for workshops, for dialogues, to address issues, and that youth planning council actually has a key role in actually putting together that event itself. They design the topics for the work groups, t-shirt design, stage productions. All of this falls within the realm of the Youth Advisory Committee. So, now that we've got the youth involved, it's going to be also critical to engage the various stakeholders from throughout the city, because we recognize that identifying youth violence as a public health issue, there are a number of areas of intersection that occur. So the Unity Roadmap is actually quoted as saying, Mayor Frank Jackson has organized the police department and the public school system in coming together to develop a plan to align resources for youth violence prevention and engage a wide range of partners. Very key. So from that, the Youth Violence Prevention Working Group was formed. Now, who does it consist of? Well, we have public health. We have city council. We have a very active city council legislator within the legislature within the city of Cleveland. We've got our community relations department. We have our police department. And we talked about how all the various departments within the city really have an important role to play in this. We've got our hospital partners engaged. We talked about that earlier. We have community representatives, which is very key. We have our Cleveland Public School System all involved in this group, as well as business sponsors and universities. So One of the prime tasks for this group was really to look at how we can engage the entire community. How can we get the involvement and the impact, input from various stakeholders throughout the community. So one of the things that we did was we developed a plan to conduct community forums on youth violence throughout the community. Our very first one was amazing. I know you can't read this, but maybe you can. But on Friday, November the 18th, our first forum was entitled The Public Health and Economic Impact of Youth Violence on Our Community. So we really wanted to set the stage and present this topic from the standpoint that really this is something that impacts all segments of the community, whether it's the business leaders, whether and how that relates to whether or not businesses then choose to locate within Cleveland, all of that. So we were very fortunate to have a representative, in fact, who served as our keynote speaker from the World Health Association. We had Marilyn Rice. And it was wonderful to have her because she helped to set the stage for viewing violence from a public health perspective. And one of the quotes is that we need to work toward changing the conditions in which people live if we ever hope to have an impact on this topic. In addition, again, we got very widespread coverage. This is our local newspaper. We had youth involved. Very heartfelt presentation from this young gentleman who really talked about what it was like as a youth in Cleveland, just making it from day to day. And I tell you, it was absolutely spellbinding just to hear the types of challenges and the types of stresses that our youth actually go through. We also had in the background hospital representations who shared with us what their experience in the emergency rooms was like and the escalation in the numbers of gunshot wounds and stabbings that we see on a regular basis in our emergency room among our youth. And in addition to that, we had two other forums that also addressed various aspects of youth violence. The second forum that we had was entitled Hurt People, Hurt People. And this was really designed to look at how are we funding youth violence initiatives? How are we really directing the resources? So that was very informative from the standpoint of helping us to gauge what things were working, what things were not working, and where we needed to make a difference. The third forum, which was held on June the 22nd, was actually focused on the youth. In fact, the youth had the entire floor. And again, talk about the stories that we heard from our young people. It was absolutely spellbinding. And what it really allowed for is for them to recognize that we do care about what they're going through. We do care about the challenges that they have. In fact, our chief of police attended this particular session, and one of the students made a plea to him. He said, well, you know what? My best friend was actually gunned down. We knew who did it. We told the police, and the person is still walking the streets. So hearing that really made the point clear that there really needed to be a closer connection with and responsiveness to the needs of the youth right then and right there. The chief of police connected with that young person and said, you know what? From this point going forward, you will have an opportunity to connect with me. He set up a hotline. He set up a hotline right there and there for the youth to give them that means of being able to connect and tie directly into him. So out of these three forums, we were actually able to develop a list of recommendations. I'm just going to share a few of them with you. There are over 20 recommendations, but just the highlight of some of those include the fact that in order for us to develop this comprehensive plan, youth must be engaged in positive activities. So, and that includes engaging our Boys and Girls Clubs, our recreation centers, our YMCAs, to really give the youth an opportunity to be engaged in positive as opposed to negative activities. Number two, youth must have access to employment skills, training, and jobs. That was one of the main areas that really came to the surface in terms of why our youth were involved and engaged in less than positive activities. And by getting them connected with youth training skills, that really provides the foundation for a much more positive and productive future for them. Youth must not have easy access to guns. When we looked at those statistics, we saw a startling increase in the number of youth deaths that were perpetuated as a direct result of gun violence. So not only did we see an increase in the number of victims, youth victims of gunfire, but also an increase in the number of youth perpetrators of gun violence. And there's a whole dynamic associated with that in terms of needing to have protection in the whole nine yards. So again, addressing that issue. Four, youth must be looked at as a youth violence must be looked at as a significant public health issue in our community and treated as such by community stakeholders. And again, that was the beauty of the forums, because what it allowed for is a different perspective in terms of looking at youth violence. In fact, it was our police department that said and agreed, as we all know, that you can't arrest your way out of youth violence. So building upon the successful initiatives that public health brings, you know, such as with our seatbelt ordinances, et cetera, there was a wide agreement and receptivity to looking at youth violence very differently. And then the last point I'll talk about is the fact that youth must have access to quality, outcome-driven mentorship programs. And it talks about being able to partner youth with mentors, someone who they can look up to, someone who they can turn to get their needs addressed, and also to get direction, and somebody who can provide them guidance. That theme came up quite a bit. So providing those mechanisms, we feel, will actually go a long way toward allowing us to be much more responsive to our youth. And again, with the remainder of the recommendations that we were able to generate from the youth forums, along with the other on-the-ground, kind of boots-on-the-ground programs that we have now the makings of our own blueprint for action in the city of Cleveland. So we really thank you for your attention and the opportunity to help share the Cleveland experience with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.